भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्णा। First of all, I would like to welcome all of our esteemed guests, dear devotees, for the Sunday feast program this afternoon. Just last Monday, we celebrated the wonderful and auspicious festival of Sharad Purnima, which marked the beginning of this auspicious month of Kartik, which is also called the month of Damodar. So today we have proposed to discuss from this very wonderful, famous, and one of the most sweetest of all Krishna's childhood pastime, that is the Damodar Leela. In fact, of all the pastimes of Krishna, this is one pastime which is considered to be the most famous, in fact, because this is the only pastime in which we glorify Krishna for this pastime for an entire month. Yes, we celebrate the various other festivals which marks Krishna's various other pastimes, but this particular pastime wherein Krishna was bound by Mother Yashoda's love, the wooden grinding mortar, we celebrate it for an entire month. In fact, we take an entire month to celebrate this festival. And within that entire month, every day, morning and evening, we glorify Sri Damodar for performing that wonderful pastime. So in that sense, we can understand that this one pastime of Krishna is so famous and it is so sweet and so deep that we have to set aside an entire month to celebrate it. And this is one pastime wherein Krishna and Yashoda, they are actually increasing each other's fame. Yashoda is increasing the fame of Krishna by binding him by her love, and Krishna is increasing the fame of Yashoda, as the name Yashoda, Yash means fame. So one who gives fame to Krishna. So Krishna, he also in reciprocation to Mother Yashoda's love, is increasing the fame of Mother Yashoda. And Satyavrat Muni, in the beginning of his Damodar Ashtakam, he is making a very wonderful prayer in which he is saying, Namamishwaram Sachidanandarupam Lasat Kundalam Gokule Brajamanam Jashoda Bhiolukhaladavamanam Paramrishtam Matyanta Todritya Gopya. Herein, he is addressing Krishna as Ishvara. Namamishwaram, that my humble obeisances unto that Ishvara, Lord Krishna, who is having a Sachidananda Vigraha. And then he is saying that this Ishvara, who is having a Sachidananda Vigraha, is so fearful. Yashoda Bhyo Lukhaladava Manam. He's so fearful of whom? Of Mother Yashoda. Now herein we can see the contrast. That somebody who is Ishvara, he should be free from fear. And not just an ordinary Ishvara. We see that the Ishvaras of this world, many times they are fearful because they are not the supreme Ishvara. Even Lord Indra, who is the chief of the demigods of all Ishvaras, even he is so fearful of his position, so many times we know. And herein we have Parameshwara, Lord Sri Krishna. So, where is the possibility of any fear for that Ishvara who is the controller of all the other Ishvaras? And also, one becomes fearful because of having a material body. Just like we have these material bodies, which is not at all Sachidananda. In fact, it is the opposite. It is Asat, Achit and Nirananda. And because of being Asat, Achit and Nirananda, there is always a fear that anything can happen to this body. So fear can be because of not being the controller, and fear can be because of having a material body. But as far as Krishna is concerned, as Satyavrata Muni is praying, that you are the Parameshwara and you are having Sachidananda Vigraha, but in spite of these two wonderful qualities, Yashoda Bhiyo Lukha, you are still fearful. So this is the fear of love. Out of love, Lord Sri Krishna, that Parameshwara, that Sachidananda Vigraha, is becoming fearful of Mother Yashoda. And Shukadeva Goswami, towards the end of this Damodar Leela, in a beautiful verse, as if he is speaking the heart of Krishna in this particular verse, he is revealing that what was the motive behind performing this pastime. What was Krishna's motive behind performing this pastime? So the scene is, Krishna is bound to the wooden grinding mortar. And Shukadeva Goswami, after that particular point when Krishna was bound, and he is now like an offender, he is arrested by Mother Yashoda, home arrest. And in that particular situation, Krishna is looking up to the demigods, and he is showing the demigods that, just see, you consider yourself to be the Ishvaras over the general populace, the human beings, and you consider me to be your Ishvara. So you are the Ishvaras of all the people of this world, and I am your Ishvara, but who is my Ishvara? This Mother Yashoda. And that is what Shukadeva Goswami, in that beautiful verse, is saying. Evam sandarshita hyanga harina bhritya vashyata svavashena pi krishnena yasyedam sheshvaram vashe. In this beautiful verse, Shukadeva Goswami is saying that Krishna, who was bound to that wooden grinding mortar, is showing to the demigods, to the Ishvara, Sa Ishvara, evam sandarshita hyanga, that have darshan, complete darshan, sandarshan of this particular sight of mine. And what is that scene? I'm bound to this wooden grinding mortar like a criminal. So have complete darshan, can even take photos and print it. So he's telling to the demigods that have complete darshan of this scene. And what is the significance of this bondage of mine? That I have become bhritya vashyata. That I have become as a servant of my own devotees, of my own servants. And this is the significance of my bondage over here. And Vishwanath Chakri Thakur explains that Krishna, in this entire pastime, he is showing to these demigods and to all of us that yes, many people might call me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but when it comes to my devotees like Mother Yashoda, I relinquish, I give up, I renounce all of those Aishwaryas which might make me the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In one beautiful verse, Sanatana Goswami, he is praying about this quality of Krishna, wherein Krishna just becomes like an ordinary cowherd boy or a lover for the Brajabasis. In this verse, Sanatana Goswami is saying, Krishnena na vraja jana kilamo hitaste taisah vyamohi bhagavan iti satyameva gatva mayaiva sahi vismrita deva karyo nusmariti kimiti krityana ho kathanchit. Herein, Sanatana Goswami is saying that when Krishna appeared in Vrindavan, it was not that Krishna, because of his Aishwarya, he was very attractive to the Brajavasis, or the Brajavasis were becoming vyamohit, very much attracted to the Aishwarya of Krishna. That was not the case, Sanatana Goswami says. In fact, he says, satyameva gatva vyamohi. What is the truth? What is the satya? That Bhagavan, who came with all the Aishwarya, appeared in Vrindavan, he was completely bewildered. Vyamohita. He was completely bewildered looking at the love of the Brajavasis. So much so, Vismrita Deva Karyo. He was so much attracted looking at the love of the Brajavasi that he forgot his Devakarya, that he had appeared to establish the religious principles and to annihilate the miscreants. He forgot that Devakarya. And in fact, Narad Muni had to come and remind Krishna that, by the way, you had come for this Devakarya. So please now come out of Vrindavan and begin with your mission for which you have come. So Narad Muni reminded Krishna of Krishna's mission. Why? Because Krishna was so much in love and vyamohit by the love of the Brajavasis. So Vishwanath Chakri Thakur, in his commentary on this particular Damodar Leela, he says that Lord Sri Krishna, at various steps of this Damodar Leela, he gave up some of his Aishwaryas. In fact, he gives account of how many Aishwaryas Krishna gave up. 8 of the Aishwaryas Krishna gave up as Krishna went on in this particular Damodar Leela, and he was showing to all of us, to all the demigods, that when I want the love of my dear devotee like Mother Yashoda, I don't care for my Aishwaryas. So this was the day of Diwali, when Mother Yashoda, she decided to personally churn the yogurt and to feed that butter to Krishna on that day. It is explained that every day Mother Yashoda would receive so many complaints of Krishna stealing butter. So she decided that maybe the quality of butter at our house is not so good. So therefore, he is going out and stealing. So they had 9 lakh cows, and out of those 9 lakh cows, she selected the best 108 cows. And out of those best 108 cows, she selected the best 8 cows and fed them the top quality grass, which is called the Padma Gandha grass. And out of those 8, 7 of those cows were fed with that grass. Milk of those 7 cows was fed to one very special cow. And that one very special cow, milk of that cow was turned into yogurt. And that yogurt, Mother Yashoda was churning. So it was the best quality offering which was being prepared on that day for Krishna. So the description is given by Shukadeva Goswami, first of Mother Yashoda, that early in the morning on that day of Diwali, as Mother Yashoda, she was churning that yogurt. She was singing all the pastimes of Krishna up until that point of time which Krishna had performed. And she is addressed by Shukadeva Goswami as Nanda Gehini. She is addressed as the Queen of Vrindavan. So even though she was the Queen of Vrindavan, but still she was personally preparing that offering for the Supreme Lord by her own hands. So with her mouth she was singing the glories of Krishna, and her hands were busy serving Krishna as they were churning the yogurt, and Smaranti, her mind was thinking of Krishna. So our acharyas explained that in our sampradaya, when someone takes sannyas, so he is given the tridanda, which signifies that that person has dedicated his body, mind and words, karmana, manasa and vacha. So herein Mother Yashoda was actually acting like that tridandi sannyasi, in which she was using her body, mind and words completely in glorification of Krishna. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that similarly, we should be constantly engaged in the process of chanting the glories of Krishna with our mouth, and we should be engaged in thinking of the glories of Krishna, and we should be engaged in serving Krishna with our physical body. In fact, there is one nice pastime of Srila Prabhupada. This was in San Francisco, and there was a TV interview arranged for Srila Prabhupada. So the TV crew, they were getting ready with all the arrangements, the lights, the cameras, the sound system, and Srila Prabhupada was waiting. So it happened that the sound men, they were hearing some hissing sound as they were preparing. So they kind of told to the cameraman that they should not start off because there is some hissing sound coming. in the microphone. So they were checking all the sound lines, all the wires, but they couldn't detect from where that hissing sound is coming. Everything was perfect according to them. So from where that hissing sound was coming, and the interview was getting delayed. Prabhupada was waiting for now 1 hour, and Prabhupada's servant was also waiting. So one of the main sound man, he came and he then took out all the wires in order to detect from where that hissing sound was coming. And he kind of traced that wire and found that that wire was attached to the microphone which was in front of Srila Prabhupada. And he said, the sound is coming from him, which means from Srila Prabhupada. What was happening was Prabhupada was very, very silently chanting Hare Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada's servant, he said that we could understand that how Srila Prabhupada was always engaged. Not that after he finished his 16 rounds, then after the morning program, that's it, quota is over for that day, the glorification of Krishna is over. So he said that Prabhupada was Kirtaniya Sada Hari. He was always chanting Hare Krishna, the glories of Krishna. In South India, in the Sri Sampradaya, there was this wonderful devotee whose name was Parashar Bhatt. He was a disciple of Kuresh, associate of Sri Ramanujacharya. And his spiritual master, Parashar Bhatt's spiritual master, had told him to write a commentary on the Vishnu Sahasranam. So he was writing a commentary named Bhagavat Guna Darpan, commentary on Vishnu Sahasranam. And whenever he would sit down to write that commentary, there was one person who would always come and criticize Parashar Bhatt, make fun of him, abuse him, blaspheme him. And every day Parashar Bhatt would invite this person to his home for prasad. During the lunch time, Parashar Bhatt, when he would go for his lunch, he would always take this person also along with him. Every day he would feed him prasad along with him. So devotees were very much surprised. So they asked Parashar Bhatt that this person, he every day blasphemes you, criticizes you, and every day you take him for prasad. Why are you feeding him every day? So Parashar Bhatt, he told that my spiritual master had given me two instructions. That you just follow these two instructions of mine, he said. The first instruction was that you always glorify Krishna. And the second instruction which he gave was you should detect your own faults and expose them. So the first instruction I am trying to follow of trying to glorify Krishna, and my whole day goes in that. And I don't find a single moment to fulfill the second instruction. So because the whole day goes in glorifying Krishna, and I don't find any single moment to fulfill the second instruction of my spiritual master, and this person, he is helping me to fulfill that second instruction which my spiritual master gave. So therefore, I want him always close to me, because he is helping me to fulfill that second instruction of my spiritual master, that he is exposing my faults. So this is the quality of a pure devotee, that a pure devotee is always engaged in glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As here in Mother Yashoda, as she was churning that yogurt, she was singing, she was thinking, and she was serving Krishna. And Jiva Goswami explains that as she was churning that yogurt, the bangles in her hands, they were making nice rhythmic sound. Now in the spiritual world, there is no dead matter. Everyone is a person over there. Even the bangles, on the hands of Mother Yashoda, they are devotees of Krishna. So these Bengals were thinking that how fortunate we are that these hands, which are directly in service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we are directly connected to these hands of Mother Yashoda. So in ecstasy, they were dancing. These Bengals were dancing in ecstasy as they were recognizing their fortune of being in the hands of Mother Yashoda, who was directly engaged in the service of Krishna. And also they were thinking that Mother Yashoda is doing this kirtan and both her hands are busy, so she is not able to play any instruments like kartal. So therefore we should on our own help her in this kirtan of Krishna. So they started to beat each other and make that nice sound of kartal. And then Shukadeva Goswami explains that the earrings, which were the ears of Mother Yashoda, they were also very rhythmically kind of dancing and making nice sound. So the earrings were thinking that who is this Mother Yashoda? What is the fortune of this Mother Yashoda? That yes, we hear of pure devotees who engage in Krishna Katha. Devotees engage in discussing about Krishna. But the glory of Mother Yashoda is that she is engaged in hearing directly from Krishna. These ears of Mother Yashoda, they are the recipients of the direct sound vibration from Krishna and of Krishna. Which means every day Mother Yashoda would hear Krishna speaking. So yes, those devotees are definitely glorious who hear about Krishna. But Mother Yashoda's glory is so much that she every day hears directly from these ears the sound from Krishna's lotus mouth. And what is our fortune? That we are situated on those ears. So the earrings, understanding their fortune, they were in ecstasy. And like that, Mother Yashoda, as she was churning that yogurt, there were some flowers of malati in her hair, and these malati flowers were falling on the ground. And what they were thinking, these malati flowers, they were thinking that again, what is the fortune of this lady, that she has the Supreme Personality of Godhead as her son. And what is our audacity that we are situated on her head when we have to be at her feet? So therefore, recognizing their position, they were falling from her hair at her feet, that she is so glorious. Now as Mother Yashoda was singing, doing that kirtan, it is explained that wherever Krishna's kirtan is performed, Krishna's katha is performed, Krishna appears. As Krishna said to Narad Muni, Yatra gayanti mad bhakta tatra tishthami Narada. So here was Mother Yashoda singing the glories of Krishna. So that was the alarm for Krishna to get up and to come to that place where his kirtan was being sung. So this is the first Aishwarya now which Krishna relinquished or renounced, which Krishna is showing to these Ishwaras, to these demigods. Shukadeva Goswami in that verse explains that Krishna got up with a desire to drink Mother Yashoda's milk. Tamstanya kama asadya. So Krishna got up from his sleep and he developed that kamana, that desire to drink Mother Yashoda's milk. So Krishna's one Aishwarya is that he is called Atmaram. And what is the meaning of Atmaram? That he is self-sufficient. He doesn't need anything from outside to satisfy himself. Just like we need so many things from outside of us in order to satisfy us. But Krishna is Atmaram. He doesn't need anything from outside to satisfy himself. So then one might ask this question, then why did Krishna wanted that milk from Mother Yashoda? Why did he want that milk from Mother Yashoda? If he is Atmaram, he should be satisfied and he can produce milk also to satisfy himself. Like it is said by one of our acharyas that we perform so many activities because we are apurna. Apurnasya nija purtharte iti cheshta ti karma. That we perform karma because we are apurna. And to fulfill that apurnata within us, we have to perform karma. We have to eat, we have to dress, we have to take rest, so many things we have to do. But Krishna is purna. Krishna is Atmaram. So Krishna is giving up this first Aishwarya of being Atmaram by becoming desirous of Mother Yashoda's milk. Yes, I am Atmaram. But when it comes to my pure devotee's offering, Mother Yashoda's milk, I give up that position of being Atmaram. And herein, we can understand that Krishna was showing to all the demigods that how, yes, you might call me as a self-sufficient person. In fact, you are getting all of your necessities because of me. But when it comes to the necessity of love, which I want from my devotees, I give up that position of being Atmaram. So that was the first Aishwarya which Krishna gave up. And then Krishna went towards Mother Yashoda. And he indicated that he wanted her milk. So Mother Yashoda, she kept Krishna on her lap and she started feeding her own milk. Because here, the object of all the offering has come and he is demanding the offering right then. So she stopped churning of the yogurt and she started feeding her own milk to Krishna. And we know the story how the milk in the kitchen was boiling over. This was that milk, the Padmagandha dud, the Padmagandha milk which she had kept on the oven to make sweets on that day for Krishna. So Diwali should be the day when sweets should be made for Krishna. Otherwise we have the experience in India, sweets and other things are made just for each other, you know. We go to each other's homes and just eat and share sweets amongst us. But herein Mother Yashoda is teaching that how she was making sweets for Krishna. So she could realize, she could smell that the milk in the kitchen is boiling over. And Jiva Goswami explains that that milk, who is also a devotee of Krishna, was thinking that here is this pure devotee Mother Yashoda who has unlimited love for Krishna. And because of that, she has unlimited milk for Krishna, which is the sign of her love. And who is Krishna? He is unlimited. So Krishna is unlimited, Mother Yashoda's love is unlimited, Mother Yashoda's milk is unlimited, and this drinking of this unlimited milk will go on for unlimited time. So what is the use of my living? So this milk was thinking that better I commit suicide. So the milk was boiling over in order to fall in the fire and do the self-immolation or become sati, something like that. So the milk was trying to commit suicide. So at that point of time, Mother Yashoda realized that our acharyas explained that she was at crossroads in her devotional service at that point of time. Like sometimes we are at crossroads thinking, not here in Bombay, that crossroad, but in our devotional service, we are at crossroads thinking that what kind of devotional service I should give priority to. Should I read more? Should I chant more? Should I eat more? Should I rest more? You know, sometimes we are put in those kind of situations. So here in Mother Yashoda was thinking that I am feeding Krishna directly my milk. and there is that milk inside which is boiling over. So should I continue feeding this milk, or should I go inside and protect that milk? So she is teaching us how we should use our intelligence. She thought that my milk is always available, but if that milk boils over, I might lose that milk. So better first I protect that one, so that later on I can come. So in one sense we can see that herein Mother Yashoda was giving up the service of directly serving Krishna, but the mood was to better serve Krishna by protecting that milk. Like Ramanujacharya had his servant who every day would boil milk and feed to Ramanujacharya. So one day, as the servant of Ramanujacharya was boiling milk, the procession of Ranganath was passing on the street. So Ramanujacharya went out to have darshan of Sri Ranganathji, and he called for his servant that please come out and have darshan of Ranganathji. And the servant of Ramanujacharya said to him that if I come out to see your lord, the milk for my lord will be burnt here. And what did he mean by that? That yes, your lord has come and you want me to come and have darshan of your lord. But who is my lord? My lord is you, yourself. And if I come out to see your lord, the milk for my lord will be boiling over. So over there, service was given more importance than just seeing Krishna. So over here also, Mother Yashoda, she was thinking that if I protect that milk inside, then I can render better service. In fact, I can render more service by protecting that milk and making sweets of that milk. And also, I can always feed my milk. So she left Krishna. Now, this is the second opulence which Krishna is relinquishing. Krishna is called as Aptakama. Aptakama means he is satisfied with a little offering. As Krishna says, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam. Just, you know, one leaf, you know, singular he is using words. Just one leaf, a fruit, a flower. And so many pastimes of Krishna where he was satisfied with a little offering. When he went to see the Pandavas in the forest, and he just took that, you know, one little leaf of that vegetable from the Akshaya Patra of Draupadi. And what to speak of he being satisfied. All the 60,000 disciples of Durvasa Muni, they were belching. So herein Krishna, who is satisfied with a little offering, he relinquished that position of being Atmakam by becoming Sakam again, that I want more of your milk. So he expressed his dissatisfaction that why did you leave me in your feeding milk to me? So Krishna gave up that particular opulence of his, that Aishwarya of his, and he wanted the milk of Mother Yashoda, and he expressed dissatisfaction. So Vishwanath Chakra Thakur is saying that the same Aptakam, he then became dissatisfied. And then that dissatisfaction of Krishna resulted in giving up the next opulence of Krishna. Krishna is known as Trigunatita, that he is beyond the three modes of material nature. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Tribhir Gunamair Bhavair Ebhi Sarvam Idam Jabagat Mohitam Nabhi Janati Mamebhya Param Avyayam. That everyone is engulfed within the three modes of material nature of this world, but I am above and beyond these three modes. And Krishna, how did he express that he gave up that position of being Trigunatita? By becoming angry. As Shukadeva Goswami says, Sanjata kopa spurita runadharam sandasya dadbir dadimantha bhajanam. That he became so angry that he was biting his red lips with his white teeth. He became so angry. Like sometimes you know, when a person becomes angry, you know, you can see the expression on the face that that person has become angry. And, you know, sometimes it comes out in words, and sometimes if the anger meets with the hands, then the hands start working. And if the anger, you know, meets with the legs, then it starts using the legs. If the anger meets with the tongue, then the tongue starts doing its job. So here, Krishna was exhibiting so much anger. In fact, we have so many instances in which the Supreme Lord, there were instances wherein the Supreme Lord was provoked to become angry. Like when Bhrigu Muni, when he kicked Vishnu on his chest. You know that story. So Bhrigu Muni kicked Vishnu on his chest. Now, definitely what Mother Yashoda did was not that much. But still, Krishna is becoming so angry. And there, Vishnu, he was holding Bhrigu Muni's feet and massaging it, saying that maybe your feet might have got hurt because my chest is so hard. In Ramayana, there is this instance that when it was announced to the entire kingdom of Ayodhya that Lord Ram will be coronated as a king tomorrow by Dashrath. And then we know the story how Kaikeyi and Mantra, they approached Dashrath, and you know, he was asked to inform Lord Ram to go to Vanvas for 14 years instead of becoming the king. So it is explained that Dashrath Maharaj, with a heavy heart, he called for Lord Ram to inform him that instead of becoming the king tomorrow, you have to go to the forest for 14 years. So he calls for Lord Ram, and Lord Ram comes from his chambers. He's walking through the streets of Ayodhya, and he's seeing that the whole town of Ayodhya is busy with the preparations of my coronation. So can you imagine what would be the feeling in someone's heart when he's seeing that the entire kingdom is busy for your coronation ceremony, and they are making preparations. So everyone, you know, by that time they had started regarding Lord Ram as a king, and they were respecting, as Lord Ram was going to the palace of Dashrath, they were respecting Lord Ram as a king. And he was seeing with his eyes how all the preparations were being made by all the Ayodhya Vasis for his coronation. And then when Lord Ram heard from Dashrath Maharaj that instead of the coronation ceremony, you have to take up the tree bark and go to the forest for 14 years. Lord Ram, after hearing that, he was coming back from the palace. And again he was seeing, because it was only him at that point of time who knew that he's not supposed to be the king now anymore. But all the other Ayodhya Vasis, they were unaware, and they were continuing on with the preparations. So it is explained that Lord Ram, on his way to the palace and on his way back, he was the same. There was no effect on Lord Ram. He was unaffected totally. He was not elated by the fact that I am going to be the king tomorrow when he went to the palace. And he was not depressed looking at these people that you don't know what will happen tomorrow. What is the use of all these preparations? He was the same, equipoised, because he's Trigunatita. He was completely unaffected. In fact, he went to Kaikeyi and said that, I would like to thank you, Kaikeyi, Mother Kaikeyi, for whatever you have done unto me. Because tomorrow I was supposed to take up this position of the king, and I'm just recently married to Sita. So I was thinking that if I become king, I will have to be in the palace and you know, take up all the responsibilities of the king, and how much time I can devote to my wife, newly wedded wife. But by your nice arrangement, now for 14 years, I can be with her without any of these problems of, you know, the kingly responsibility. So I would like to thank you, Kaikeyi, for this nice arrangement which you did for me. That was Lord Ram. And herein, we see Krishna, that what did Mother Yashoda do? You know, she only just took away some milk. Here was Lord Ram, whose entire kingdom was taken away. And here Mother Yashoda just took away some milk. And it was not that, you know, she said that no more milk from now on. You have to fast from milk for throughout your life. Or, you know, this is the Chaturmasya going on. No, you know, she was every day feeding her milk to Krishna. But Krishna became so angry. Sanjata kopa spurita runadharam. That he was biting his red lips with his white teeth. And the acharyas explained that. What was the significance of that? The red lips, they signified the mode of passion. And the white teeth, which were over the red lips, they signified the mode of goodness. So Krishna was indicating that if we want to control our mode of passion, we have to use the mode of goodness. The white teeth over the red lips. So we have to use the mode of goodness in order to control the mode of passion. And not only did he express that anger through his lips and his teeth, but he broke the pots which were filled with all that butter, which was not meant for him. The butter which was meant for him was being churned by Mother Yashoda. But he really wanted to extract that angry love of Mother Yashoda on that day. So therefore, he started breaking those pots. And then he scattered all that butter, and he started stealing all that butter then in his own home. So here is the fourth Aishwarya which Krishna is relinquishing. Krishna is known as Lakshmipati. That he is the husband of not just one goddess fortune, Lakshmi Sahastra. He is the husband of Sahastra Lakshmi, thousands and thousands of goddesses of fortune. Now who is the husband of goddess of fortune? What is the need for this person to steal? And that to steal what? Of all things, butter. You know, sometimes like big people, they steal big things. If somebody is on a very big position, but is not of a good character, and if it's engaged in some kind of scandal, you will find that, you know, they will steal, you know, in big amounts. The amounts will always come in crores and lakhs and like that. You won't find them pickpocketing someone. So here, he is a husband of thousands of goddesses of fortune. And what is he stealing of all things? Some butter, that too in his own home. So Krishna is giving up that position of being Lakshmipati. In fact, Krishna enjoys more this name of his, Makhanchor, as against that name Lakshmipati so much. Now, can you imagine someone who is a billionaire or a millionaire, a very big person? Imagine a millionaire who has really worked hard in his life to achieve that position of being so wealthy. And after he has acquired all that wealth, maybe in his childhood he might have, you know, stolen some pencil or some rubber, you know, in the school, in the classroom. And later on, now he has become a big business magnate and he's become so wealthy. So in a function, he's being introduced. So here is Mr. XYZ and he's a pencil chore. By the way, how will that person feel? I might have stolen some pencil in my childhood, that's okay. But this is not what, you know, I'm supposed to be introduced with. Now I'm a big, wealthy person. But here in Krishna, who in his childhood stole all that butter, for all time to come, although he's Lakshmipati, but he likes more of his introduction as Makhanchor. In fact, what to speak of that? People who are singing about this Leela, Main nahi makhan kayo, they have become Lakshmiwan, so wealthy, just by singing this particular leela. You know, they are selling their albums, and by singing this particular leela, they are earning so much money. And what to speak of Lakshmipati? There was this this ad of this Amul butter some time ago, in which, you know, all over Bombay they show on the billboards this Amul butter thing. So they were showing that, you know, someone was made as Mother Yashoda and someone was made as Krishna, and this Mother Yashoda is holding the ears of this Krishna and asking, why did you steal butter? And in this ad, the Krishna is saying, because you don't feed me Amul butter. Therefore, I have to steal. In fact, Mother Yashoda was feeding not Amul, but Amulya butter. The butter which is, you know, invaluable. Every day she was feeding that Amulya butter to Krishna. So here is Krishna who has this position of being Lakshmipati, is giving up, relinquishing that position of being Lakshmipati in front of Mother Yashoda in order to get her love. And he is doing that by stealing, so that Lakshmipati takes the position of being Mahanchor, and he steals that butter in his own home. So that was the fourth Aishwarya which Krishna relinquished. Then Krishna realized that I should do something more in order to arouse that anger of Mother Yashoda. Simply breaking the pot, stealing this butter, you know, this is what I do every day. But in my own home, I should do something extra. So what he started to do, he started to feed the monkeys all that butter, all that, you know, nice, valuable, costly butter. He started to feed the monkeys. And it is explained that one of the reasons why Krishna was doing that was he was actually fulfilling his promise. Because as Lord Ram, he had used these monkeys, you know, to build that bridge and attack Lanka, and these monkeys were not fed so well. So he had promised them, as Lord Ram, that in my next incarnation, definitely, what to speak of ordinary food, I will feed you with nice succulent butter. So he was fulfilling his promise by feeding to these monkeys. So Krishna did in such a way that he started to climb on a wooden grinding mortar and taking out more butter from all the other pots. And he was feeding it to the monkeys that try from this one, from this pot. And he was feeding from all the different pots. And he was seated in such a way that the monkeys, they were like facing the kitchen from where Mother Yashoda was about to come now. And Krishna knew that as soon as these monkeys will see Mother Yashoda coming, they will immediately jump and run. And that is the indication that I should also start running then. So Krishna was very expert in adjusting his crime in such a way that he could run away from Mother Yashoda. So he was feeding the monkeys, and as soon as he saw the sparkle in the eyes of the monkeys, that the monkeys, their eyes lit up when they saw Mother Yashoda coming with a stick in her hand. Immediately they jumped from their places and they ran away. And Krishna jumped from the wooden grinding mortar and he started running. So this is the fifth opulence now which Krishna will give up. So as Krishna was running in fear of Mother Yashoda, Mother Yashoda was running behind Krishna. So it is explained that as Mother Yashoda was running, the different groups of Malati flowers on her hair, they were thinking in their own different ways. So one group of Malati flower, they were thinking that this Mother Yashoda is so fortunate that big yogis, they who run at the speed of mind, are not able to catch even the prapada of Krishna, even the toenails of Krishna. who are running at the speed of mind. Panthastu koti shatavatsara sampragamyo vayor athapi manaso muni pungavana sopyasti yad prapadasinmya vichintya tatve govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. That these yogis who are running at the speed of mind are not able to catch Krishna. And here is Mother Yashoda, who is able to do that. So they were falling from her hair, at her feet, recognizing her supreme position. And the second group of multi flowers, they were thinking that she is trying so hard and Krishna is so swift in his running, and Mother Yashoda is a little heavy. You know, she has a little heavy body. So Mother Yashoda with that heavy body is trying to catch Krishna. So we should help her by reducing her weight. So, you know, we should fall at her feet again and reduce her weight. So the second group of Malti flowers, they were falling off, trying to reduce and lessen her weight. And the third group, they were thinking that if Mother Yashoda catches Krishna, and if Krishna looks at us, so you are also part of that conspiracy. So better, before Krishna looks at us and catches us as being part of this conspiracy of arresting him, better we leave. Better we leave Mother Yashoda. So the third group of the Malti flower, they were falling off, thinking that we don't want to become part of this conspiracy of Krishna's home arrest. So they were falling off. And Mother Yashoda was running and she was sweating. And she was really desperate to catch Krishna. And Krishna was very swiftly. Now here in Mother Yashoda was not a person who was very good at running. But still she could catch Krishna. It was not that Mother Yashoda was practicing every day some running, because on the day of Diwali I have to perform this pastime and, you know, I have to be good, I have to have some stamina and I should be good at running so that I can catch Krishna and bind him and all that. Now, in the 10th canto again, there is this episode wherein there was another person who was also running after Krishna. Guess who? This was Kala Yavan. He was also running after Krishna. And it is explained that this Kala Yavan was a very powerful warrior. And being a warrior, he was very good at all the physical abilities, running and all that, being a warrior. But still Kala Yavan couldn't catch Krishna. So if we, you know, make a comparison or a contrast with Kala Yavan and Mother Yashoda, externally Kala Yavan was very light and externally Mother Yashoda was very heavy. But Acharyas explained that Kala Yavan externally was very light, but internally he was heavy. Heavy with the sins. Because internally he was loaded with all of his sins. Therefore, because of that heaviness, he couldn't catch Krishna. And Mother Yashoda externally was very heavy, but internally she was anagha. She was without any sin. She was sinless. She was a pure devotee. So because she was sinless from within, so she was the lightest. And therefore, she could catch Krishna. So yes, if we also want to catch Krishna or have Krishna in our life, we also following the footsteps of Mother Yashoda, we have to be internally very light by becoming anagha, by becoming sinless. So here was Mother Yashoda, who was running after Krishna and who caught Krishna from behind. And it is explained that this is the difference between the material world and the spiritual world. In the material world, Krishna is running after us to catch us, to bring us back home, back to Godhead. And in the spiritual world, the pure devotees are running after Krishna. So over here, Krishna is so desperate that he wants to bind us with him and take us home, back to Godhead. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada one time he said, using this term, you know, this famous term which Prabhupada would use, going back home, back to Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada said that if we don't perfect our Krishna consciousness in this life, then with that imperfect Krishna consciousness, this term back home, back to Godhead will always be imperfect. That if we don't perfect in Krishna consciousness, then that term will be only back home. Which means back to square one from where we were. So if we want to fulfill this term of back home, then back to Godhead also, then we should be 100% sinless and fully Krishna conscious. Then only it will be back home, back to Godhead. Otherwise it will be simply back home. Which means we'll again revert back to those activities from where we came. So here Mother Yashoda could catch Krishna. And this was the fifth opulence which Krishna relinquished, that these big, big yogis were not able to catch Krishna. Mother Yashoda could catch Krishna. And then as Mother Yashoda is holding on to Krishna and she is having the whipping stick in her hand, Krishna is so fearful. He's appearing so fearful. As Satyavrat Muni, he sings, Rudantam muhur netra yugmam rijantam karamboja yugmena shatanka netram muhushvasakampa trirekhanka kantha stita graivam damodaram bhakti badham. That he was so fearful. And it was not a show. It was not that he was making it up. He was so fearful that first he was crying, Rudantam. And he was rubbing his eyes again and again with his two lotus hands. Because of that crying so much, he was breathing heavily. Muhuswasha kampa. And there was a kampan because of that fear. And the three lines on his beautiful lotus-like throat, they were shivering out of fear. And it was appearing to be so beautiful, that whole scene. So that personality of Godhead, who is fear personified to every living entity within this world, as in the third canto, Kapila Muni says, Madbhayat vati vatoyam suryastapati madbhayat varshatindrodhat agnir mrityuscharati madbhayat. That Krishna, he is that personality who is fear personified for the wind, and the wind is blowing. Madbhayat vati vatoyam, the wind is blowing out of fear of Krishna. Then suryastapati madbhayat, the sun is giving its light out of fear of Krishna. Then Indra is showering rains because of fear of Krishna. Or sometimes he stops rains. Like in Govardhan Puja he did, out of fear of Krishna. So he showers rain out of fear of Krishna, and he stops rains out of fear of Krishna. And then it is explained that death personified, whom everyone is so fearful of, this death personified is running and taking its toll on everyone out of fear of Krishna. And Kunti Maharani is also praying in her prayers that this personality, Krishna, you, who was so feared, by fear personified, you were running out of fear of Mother Yashoda, and you were, you know, exhibiting so much of fear. So here Krishna gave up this sixth opulence, this Aishwarya of his, by becoming fearful of Mother Yashoda. And then what did Mother Yashoda do? Mother Yashoda then wanted to punish Krishna. So she took Krishna and she saw that whoever was involved in this conspiracy of stealing, all of them have to be punished. So she then looked at the wooden grinding mortar, that this is the best place wherein I can tie him up and punish him, and give punishment to the wooden grinding mortar also, and also definitely this Krishna. So we know the story how Mother Yashoda was trying to bind Krishna. First she took just you know, a small ribbon from her braid. And she tried to tie Krishna with that, thinking that, you know, he's a small child of mine and this will be good enough to tie him up to this wooden grinding mortar. But then she realized it was 2 fingers short. Then she brought some more rope. It is explained that how many ropes did she bring? They had 9 lakh cows. So 9 lakh ropes to tie the cows to the post. So first 9 lakh ropes were brought. Still 2 fingers short. Then there were other set of 9 lakh ropes which were used to tie the legs of the cows to while milking them. So those another set of 9 lakh ropes, which means 18 lakh ropes. And then all the other gopis, they were asked to bring all the ropes from their houses. So it was like a rope festival. Nanda Bhavan was filled with ropes. In fact, the entire universe would be bound by so much rope which was over there. But here in Krishna, always it was 2 fingers short. So Mother Yashoda, she was not giving up in that endeavor. Everyone else was like kind of saying that, now you have to understand that, you know, he is an extraordinary person. Just give it up. But Mother Yashoda was not giving up. So she is expressing her surprise that the rope is increasing. So the first surprise which Mother Yashoda expressed was that the rope is increasing so much, but Krishna's waist is not increasing in that same accordance. Krishna's waist is the same. It is not that Krishna was increasing his waist from kamar to kamara. Not like that, you know. Krishna's waist was the same. And the third surprise which Mother Yashoda was having, that why always it is 2 fingers only? Why not 3? Why not 4? Why always 2 fingers? So the acharyas explained that Krishna was indicating first that I have to deliver these twin Arjuna trees too. So I have to deliver these 2 trees. And then of course, it is explained that 1 finger represents our endeavor and the other finger represents Krishna's mercy. So Mother Yashoda was going on and Krishna was testing Mother Yashoda kind of in her endeavors to tie him. And when Krishna found that she's been successful in her endeavor of tying me up, then Krishna, he fulfilled the other side, the other finger, which is his mercy. And then that same Muktaya, who has been addressed by Gajendra in his prayers, Madrak Prapanna Pashupasha Vimokshanaya Muktaya Bhuri Karunaya Namolalaya. Gajendra is calling out to Krishna that you are Muktaya, so please free me, because you are Muktaya, you are the supreme abode of freedom. So Krishna, who has this position of being Muktaya, over here he relinquished this position of his, this Aishwarya, by becoming Badhaya, just out of love for Mother Yashoda. And we have Duryodhan, who also wanted to tie Krishna. When Krishna showed his universal form in Hastinapur, Duryodhan, he also ran behind Krishna to arrest Krishna and tie Krishna. But Duryodhan was miserably unsuccessful in his attempt, because he definitely didn't have any love for Krishna. And here was Mother Yashoda, that she could tie Krishna. And when we were a couple of years ago at the Radha Damodar temple, Jananivas Prabhu was speaking and he kind of asked this question, that in this whole episode it is only Yashoda and Krishna, and he has a wooden grinding mortar and the monkeys and all that. Where is Radharani coming? Why do we sing the glories of Radha Damodar? So he spoke this story, that as Mother Yashoda was trying to bind Krishna and she was so desperate and feeling that, you know, why it's not happening. So she thought of calling Radharani, that, you know, always this Radharani has something special for Krishna. So maybe this Radharani might have some clue how to tie him up. So she called Radharani and she asked that, can you help me in tying this Krishna? And at that point of time, Radharani, she just removed a small ribbon from her braid and gave it to Mother Yashoda that, try with this. And that small ribbon from the braid of Srimati Radharani, when Mother Yashoda used, immediately Krishna was bound. And after that, Krishna was known as Radha Damodar. That he who was then bound also by the love of Srimati Radharani. In fact, our ISKCON deities of Radha Damodar, they are at Gita Nagari. When, you know, they were being taken by that famous Radha Damodar bus party. So they got this name also in a very interesting way. Because they were taken in the bus and the bus was traveling so many places distributing books. So the devotees, they found that, you know, the bus is moving and going so many places and the deities are inside, so we should, you know, make sure that the deities should not fall off from their altar. So how to do that? So they tied the deities with a rope. So because they tied the deities with the rope, then they decided that because this pastime Krishna had performed in Vrindavan also, that he got tied with a rope and he was named then as Damodar. So therefore, these deities of that bus party were also named Radha Damodar. So here is Krishna, who is Muktaya, who is supremely free, and he got bound by Mother Yashoda's love. And then the last Aishwarya which Krishna relinquished, gave up in order to extract the love of Mother Yashoda, was that Krishna is known as Mukunda, one who gives mukti. He is not only Muktaya himself, but he makes so many living entities, he can make every one of us Muktaya by his mercy. And therefore he is called as Mukunda, the giver of mukti. So the same person who is the giver of mukti for all conditioned living entities, who can free every one of us, and who is freeing so many living entities from their bondage, he could free himself. The same Mukunda, he couldn't free himself from that bondage. So that was that Aishwarya which he gave up. That yes, I am the person who is giving liberation to all the conditioned living entities from their bondage. But when it comes to the bondage of love, which is given by my pure devotee, I cannot untie that. I cannot free myself from that bondage. And over here, then Shukadeva Goswami, he chants that verse, Evam Sandarshita Hyanga, that Krishna was as if telling to the demigods that just look at this. Now, we see that in this material world, if someone commits a crime, if a respectable person is caught in a scam or a scandal, and if his name and his photos come in newspapers, many times we see that, you know, his face is covered, or if they are showing him on the television, you know, so the face is a little blur. Why? Because they don't want to advertise their captivity. But herein, Krishna is such a personality that he is openly advertising his captivity. Herein we have this beautiful diorama of Krishna and this photo of Radha Yashoda Damodar, in which Krishna is openly advertising. You can all take my photos. And I don't have to cover my face also, that I'm, you know, tied up over here, arrested by Mother Yashoda. So, you know, how will I show my face? In fact, he is saying, Evam Sandarshita, have my darshan, all these demigods, all of you. Have my darshan in this particular position of mine as I am being bound to this wooden grinding mortar. And Krishna got that name after this captivity, Damodar, that person who is bound. His belly is bound by a rope. That is the literal meaning of this word Damodar. In fact, we can understand that that name means captivity of Krishna. And by chanting this name, which means the captivity of Krishna, we can release our captivity. Is it not so wonderful that Krishna is a person, when it comes to his devotee's love, he can go to any extent in order to get that love. In fact, for us, what we can understand from this beautiful pastime of Krishna is when Krishna delivered those twin Arjuna trees. Herein Krishna was enjoying these wonderful reciprocations from his pure devotees. And here were these two sons of Kuvera who had committed such an offense against Narad Muni and were engaged in such an unmentionable activity. But Krishna is so merciful that he, in that beautiful reciprocation with his pure devotee, he was thinking of delivering these two personalities, Manigreve and Nalakuvar. And for us, this is the hope that yes, definitely, as far as Mother Yashoda is concerned, as far as all the residents of Vrindavan is concerned, they are too high for us. Yes, we have to follow in the footsteps. But our hope is that if Manigreve and Nalakuvar were delivered by Sri Damodar, then yes, our position is also something like that. In fact, our position is even more lowly. By the mercy of Narad Muni, Narad Muni benedicted them actually. It was not a curse. Many times we might think that Narad Muni cursed these two personalities. But actually Narad Muni benedicted them, because we hear of Lord Brahma and Uddhav, these personalities, they want to become a grass in Vrindavan. Just a grass in, you know, what is that, Gulmalata. They just want to become a grass in Vrindavan. And here were these two personalities that they got the opportunity to become trees. And where? Not somewhere in the outskirts of Vrindavan, right in the middle of Nanda Bhavan, wherein they could, you know, personally, directly, live telecast, they could have of Krishna's pastime. So was it a curse or was it a benediction? And then on top of that, also he said that when Krishna will appear, yes, gave them that assurance. So therefore, our hope is, if we also have a pure devotee in our life, and we have Srila Prabhupada and their representatives, if we have a pure devotee in our life who also benedicts us, as Narad Muni benedicted these two sons of Kuvera, and that is the actually and the only hope for our deliverance from our captivity, as there is this pastime of Tamal Krishna Maharaj when he was admitted in Jaslok Hospital. So he had a dream once in his sickly condition. And he told to Prabhupada that dream. He said that I had this dream wherein you were in the spiritual world. And all the acharyas, our previous acharyas, they were asking you this question. So what is the news of this material world? What is the news of this earth planet? And you said to them, no hope. There is no hope for the people of this earth planet. But there is one good quality which some of these people they have, that some of them they love me. And Prabhupada, he actually agreed with the principle of that dream. He said that yes, that is the only hope. That if you simply have affection for me, that is the only hope for your deliverance. And yes, that is the only hope which we have, as Nalakuvar and Manigreve had the hope of Narad Muni. And Krishna recognized them. He delivered them only because of this one reason. Otherwise, Krishna also had nothing to do with those two trees, with the two sons of Kuvera. It was only because Narad Muni had given his mercy to them. So therefore, in conclusion, what we should understand is that yes, Lord Krishna, who is engaged in these wonderful and beautiful pastimes, as Satyavrat Muni is also praying in his prayers, that I don't want any other benediction. I don't even want liberation. What to speak of liberation? I don't even want the result of following the ninefold processes of bhakti. In fact, he says that I only want that this form of yours as Bal Gopal be ever be manifest in my heart. So we should also pray in such a way that at least beginning from this month, in which morning and evening we are singing the glories of this wonderful pastime which Krishna performed, in which he is teaching so many lessons, and our acharyas, they have extracted out so many wonderful lessons from this pastime, that yes, that personality who was bound by the love of Mother Yashoda, and he got that name because of that captivity, should release our captivity and our bondage from this material world. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Shri Damodar Bhagwan ki. Is there any questions anyone has? You had a question? Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
First of all, please accept my heartfelt thanks and a deep sense of gratitude for your very beautiful and content discourse on Damodar Lila. Really, I enjoyed like anything. There is no words can express how good it was. Prabhuji, in the course of your... I have a couple of questions. You can buy all the questions. In the course of talk, you mentioned that to go back to Godhead, we have to be 100% sinless. I'm just wondering that in this stage, is it possible 100% sinless to reach that supreme abode? The thing is that when we are offering Mahaprasadam, so there are so many jivas are sacrificing in the form of that vegetable, grains, there is a life in it, and further that by cooking, so many jivas are dying. While honoring we and we are giving that offer to Krishna, there also jivas are sacrificing. In that case, so much sacrifice is happening there. Where is the chance of, even if you are other place, we are having all sort of the bhaktis. So where is the chance of this Kali Yuga that 100% sinless? Whereas in the previous yugas, there is possibility because the sages were sacrificing everything. In the last stage, they are sacrificing even breath. So here, what is the possibility? Hare Krishna.
As far as we are concerned, individually, yes, we don't have the capacity to free ourselves from all the sins. And that is the significance of the two fingers, that we have to endeavor to become sinless, and that endeavor is that one finger, and the other finger is Krishna's mercy. So we can become sinless only by when that other finger is also along with our own endeavor, the mercy of Krishna. And whatever it might be, what to speak of these organisms which you are talking about in cooking, eating and all that. Arjuna was killing big, big Maharathis. Do you consider that these big Maharathis are more valuable and important and bigger than all these organisms which you are talking about? But what did Krishna tell to Arjuna? Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo. Krishna is saying, aham tvam sarva papebhyo. But herein we have to understand that Krishna is using this word sarva two times. Only if it is sarva dharman parityajya, there will be sarva papebhyo. If sarva dharman parityajya is not there, then that sarva papebhyo mashucha will also be not be there. So therefore we have to surrender completely, and once we surrender completely, this is the assurance given by Krishna. And I guess when Krishna is assuring, then definitely we don't have any doubt left that whether we will reach that perfected stage of being sinless. Hare Krishna. So thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.